yourselves to God. Draw near to God. Humble yourselves before God, says James. It's a day of stress, especially if you're in Phoenix. Who's more stressed? The sororities and fraternities at U of M or the administration? The students at Dartmouth and their other universities where alcohol has now been banned? Or the parents of the 1,825 college students who have died from alcohol-related issues this year? Who's more stressed? There was a certain lady, Diane Blackwood, and she lived in St. Petersburg, Florida, which would not be a bad place to be, except she was walking her dogs near Sawgrass Lake, and a 7-foot alligator got her by the leg. She poked it in the eye and drove herself to the ER. Who's more stressed, the CEO of Chevron, who expanded production, or the CEO of McDonald's, who's trying to figure out what we eat? We live in a time of stress. Lewis Harris reported in Inside America, if you feel stressed out, it will please you to know that a whopping 89% of all adult Americans are right up there with you. For stress is the price that we pay for being affluent and successful. 114 million stressed-out Americans fight their anxieties, their frustrations with medication, psyching themselves out, seeking counseling, exercising. Ron Sider noted, Americans continue to be mesmerized by the billions worth of advertising a year spent to convince us that we need an even more affluent standard of living. So if affluence and success are our idols or gods, bad persons are the prophets. There's a TV victim's lament song sung through Blowing in the Wind, and Marcia wouldn't let me sing it, so. How many times must a guy spray with Ban before he doesn't offend? How many times must he gargle each day before he can talk to a friend? How many tubes of shampoo must he buy before his dandruff will end? The sponsors, my friends, will sell you all they can. The sponsors will sell you all they can. The latest, my son tells me, in film is product placement. In movies and at the Super Bowl, there'll be sex-laden hamburger ads. Psychiatrist Ken Selye, director of experimental medicine at the University of Montreal, is regarded as an expert on stress. He defines stress as a non-specific response of the body to any demand or rate of wear and tear on the body. And Selye concluded that each person has a savings account of the amount of stress that his or her body can handle in a lifetime. And each person has a different balance. Mental arousal, frustration, physical exhaustion, fatigue, all have effects of a withdrawal from that account. So how do you handle your account? Well, one response was illustrated by Schultz in a Peanuts cartoon. Lucy's talking to Charlie Brown. I want to talk with you, Charlie Brown. As your sister's consulting psychiatrist, I place the blame for all her fears on you. On me? Exclaims Charlie. Yes, on you. Each generation must be able to blame the previous generation for all of its problems. It doesn't solve anything, but it makes them all feel better. And another response is to take control of our lives. There are lots of bandwagons to jump on. Yoga, Scientology, Harmonic Convergence, New Age Crystals, Vision Quest, Sweat Lodge, or even Shieldism, which is I Believe in God, me. Jesus pointed out the absurdity of our anxiety. How silly you are. If the lilies grow in the field sustained only by divine providence, don't you think God knows your needs? Isaiah's response, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good tidings, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, to comfort all who mourn. And that prophet was addressing a people who had just been released from bondage in Babylon, returning to rebuild Jerusalem. And those chaotic years after their return brought misgovernment, poverty, moral disintegration, a stress-filled nation listening to words of hope. That that same word that Jesus would use in a synagogue in Nazareth in order to describe his mission. Dr. Sunday concluded, people must have ultimate aims if they're going to deal with stress. That which satisfies must be accumulated. Goodwill given, received. Enjoyment of great art, music. The search for excellence, the avoidance of aimlessness. He suggested that we must earn and hoard gratitude and approval. The basic principles in his way of abundant life. Today, my friends in America, anger stalks. We cannot seem to curb our anger, understand who we are, selfishly hoard respect, earn our neighbor's love, disassociate ourselves from the world. We can't do any of those things until we come to grips with Almighty God. In our moments of stress, anger, anguish, we cannot lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We never could. We never will. Paul reminded us that good which we would do, we don't do. It's only when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Submit yourselves to God, he said. Humble yourself before the Lord. Be perfect. It means to be sound, wholly turned to God, open to the will of God. Our pilgrim's path is not some vague climb up a shadowy moral hill. Jesus Christ gave himself for us, and our call is to follow him. Oh, we're going to suffer stress. We're going to experience anguish and anger, wear and tear. But you see, each day we're giving new strength. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. Columbia Professor Leo Brady suggests we pass through three stages of faith. The tweed jacket stage, the sweatpants stage, and the wetsuit phase. The tweed jacket is a literalistic stage. You go by the book. It's that kind of faith, focused upon the rudiments of faith. God said it, I believe it, that's it. We move on to sweatpants period as we try to exercise our faith in daily lives, to train ourselves in godliness. And in this period, the world sets the agenda, and we make our faith respond to the claims of the world. But the most challenging, you see, experience is the experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it means putting on a wetsuit of faithfulness. You see, the wetsuit allows you to become immersed in a strange and hostile environment. The wetsuit fits you perfectly. It becomes one with your own skin. Our son Doug's work is something like Bert's daughter's work. It takes him around the world. And he always carries with him his scuba equipment. He says it's in order to swim with the sharks, much to his mother's dismay. Horace West gives us a picture of this wet-suited Christian. He said, yesterday I met a whole man, a rare experience. It costs so much to be human that there are very few who take the courage to pay the price. You see, one has to abandon a search for security and reach out and risk living. One has to embrace the world as a lover, but demand no love in return. One has to accept pain as a condition and court doubt as the cost of knowing. One needs a stubborn will in conflict, but act always to the total acceptance of living and dying. I, the Messiah, shall come in my glory, and all of the nations will be gathered before me. What is it that you expect of life, Christians? Expect great things. God has made you new, new altogether. Through Jesus Christ, you have received the spirit of the wind and of fire, to be aflame with the faith for living these days. We're not a people of stress. We're a people of faith. And the voice of God says to each one of us today what he said to Moses centuries ago. When I pass you, I will cover you with my hand. And only afterward will you was there. Can't you say that? Friends, God has a vision for this family of faith. God has given to this church leadership to fulfill that vision, resources to fulfill that vision. And now the table is set. Are you ready? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, and burn within us. Come, Holy Wind, and cleanse us. Come, Holy Truth, and teach us. Come, Holy Love, and enfold us. Come, Holy Power, and enable us. Come as abundant life